Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14 titled, The Breastplate of Righteousness. We're in the middle of a series of studies on the whole armor of God, and of all the parts of armor mentioned by the Apostle Paul, this is the one that is most often confused and turned into something that is the complete opposite of what Paul actually was teaching. So stay tuned for more biblical instruction on this matter. In the meantime, if you'd like, you can send comments, questions, and prayer requests to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, titled, The Breastplate of Righteousness. This is part 1 of 2. Ephesians 6, verse 14. We're just going to read that one verse this week. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. We thank You for this group here this morning, the family, and His number, I think, will still come in probably a few minutes. And we're just thankful for this book, thankful for Jesus, thankful to be saved. We're so thankful of so many things. We could go on and on all morning just thanking You. We ask that You help us to remove those things in our minds that could distract us so we can learn something from Your Word this morning. You can teach things that I haven't even thought of with this book as I teach, and we just simply read it and look at it. Just thank You for Your guidance, the wisdom that is from above, written on these pages of this book that we open. We just thank You and ask for Your help as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. This study this morning is part of what we basically turned into a series, Ephesians 6, The Whole Armor of God. This morning we're going to look at the breastplate of righteousness. But before we do that, something that I've done once in a while is I'll read a little bit from a letter. We receive letters from folks all over the world who are watching and listening because they don't have what you have this morning. They don't have this type of meeting, fellowship, Bible teaching in their locality. And that's right, even in America. There are people, if they want to go to a church within 45 minutes to an hour of their house even, they have to go to a church that doesn't even believe the Bible, doesn't preach the Bible. So why go? Because that's not, a church isn't the building you go into. The church is the people meeting to sing the praises of God, to pray together, to study the Word together, to fellowship. And but we have a brother, Byron, in Indiana, and a longtime support of me personally. I mean, just very encouraging, sends letters, and he's given us gifts to help the ministry and that sort of thing through for a good long while. And some of you met him. He's been here once, and he's talking about coming again soon. Amen. So we hope to see him soon. He says he gave us a gift. He's one of the folks that I told you about who helped us out financially in getting things settled in here. He says, I know it's been a while since we sent a letter of encouragement and tucked in a modest financial encouragement as well. I realize with the move into your new facilities that you had to have some extra expense. And I wanted to do a little bit to let you know that we recognize that need. He says, we still listen to all the messages you post online and are looking forward to the Daniel series with great anticipation. That's Wednesday. And we're into that. We're doing that. He says, keep up the good work. We have been wondering if now that you have a, quote, real church, he's saying that tongue in cheek, he knows, that you will start wearing a coat and tie like a real preacher. He says, like Foghorn Leghorn would say, I say, son, that's a joke, son. That's my best Foghorn. He says, I love the old country church look of your new building. Though I am only 3 months from being 68 years old, I am still expecting the Lord to return at any time. Amen. I have hoped that a generation being 70 years and 2018 being modern Israel's 70th birthday has prophetic significance. Amen. Though I am old now, I am looking for a hole in the sky, not a hole in the ground, for my burial. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus, in Christ, Brother Byron Smith. That's a letter we love. Amen?
Amen.
So, you don't have to know all these fellas' names, but if you jot their names down and pray for them, Brother Byron's one of them. It's great to know there's brethren all over the world, and that we're able to be used of God to minister to those folks. Now, I feel like I am unfit to preach this message standing here in a t-shirt. I don't have my tie. But you might notice from the camera, you won't be able to see that, but I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
Sister Tracy, does that ring a bell? I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. I got my war clothes on in the army. I got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. I got my war clothes on in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I got my breastplate on in the army of the Lord. I got my breastplate on in the army. I got my breastplate on in the army of the Lord. I got my breastplate on in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. Yeah. Glory. Amen. Amen. We were actually trying to figure out how to mix. Jenny and I were thinking about how to put all the different parts of the armor, and it's verbally challenging. But that much of it is good. So we're going to talk about that last one I sang about, the breastplate of righteousness. Let's read that. Verse 14, read with me. Standing therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I got tongue-tied on, loins girt about. My tongue, I pulled a muscle. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's what we studied last week. The loins being your private area, very important part of your body.
Amen.
Is not just a belt, but the belt was where you put your sword and other things, other weapons and other things you could have. These days it'd probably be a two-way radio, and you have pepper spray, a knife, your gun, all that sort of. But there's also an area of covering, and in the ancient version, it was a little different than the modern version. But after being girt about with truth, we now have on a breastplate. A breastplate. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I'll tell you, I missed this last week. I've heard a number of studies of the armor. And I come away knowing a lot about armor and very little about what it actually means.
Yeah.
And so it's important. You should know what Paul's talking about when he talks about the armor, but there is a spiritual application he's making here. And we talk about being girt about with truth. Jesus is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
This book you have is truth. You should be girt about with truth. This truth will protect you.
Amen.
And it'll protect you in that soft spot. We talked about that last week. And then above the girdle that you are girt about, then you have the breastplate of righteousness. And in modern terms, this would be called the bulletproof vest. That's if Paul were writing today, he'd say, have your bulletproof vest of righteousness. Breastplate is simply a piece of armor covering the chest. That's basically what it is. And this is interesting. The first 20 biblical references to a breastplate were a jeweled vestment covering the chest of the Jewish high priest. Think of that. Before we get to what we're focusing in on with Paul, talking about in military terms, God had already put the high priest. How many of you know today you are a priest?
Amen.
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 The reason why you don't call me Father Greg, now Mariah's allowed to do that, but I don't want you to call me Father Greg because I'm not your father.
Amen.
Luke, I am not your father.
We don't have any Lukes in here, so I can't. But I am in leadership in the church. I have this authority right here. Not me, not my position. It's this book that is my authority.
Amen.
And so you don't need me to be in between you and God. That's not where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
You know where I am? I'm up here in front of you right now just because that's the way they built this place. And it's so that you can see me better and everything. But here's where I am, folks. I'm right here.
Amen.
I'm beside you. I'm in front of you. I'm behind you. I'm beside you. I'm where I need to be for you. Sometimes, and that I'm talking, that's where you should be too, for me.
Amen.
And for those people around you. Sometimes you need me to walk beside you. Sometimes you need me to be behind you, just helping you a little bit. That's what brothers and sisters do for each other.
Amen.
Sometimes you need me to get in front because you're just not feeling up to it. You need to follow. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And I'm not Father Greg, although that has a ring to it. Father Gregory. See, that's what happens. It goes to their head when you start calling them that. And that's why they put on monkey suits, you know, and walk around and, you know, they ride in to get. A lot of these guys even have chauffeurs and everything. Yeah. Well, that's not my place. But you look at that priest in the Old Testament wearing that breastplate. That's you. He was the one in that temple who had direct access to God. And that's you. Why? Because there's one mediator between God and man. It's not Greg Miller.
That's right.
It's not the Pope. It's not a priest. It's the man Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. Now here's what we know it looked pretty much like this in the Old Testament in the temple. That's the breastplate. You'd have a stone representing each of the tribes. And we go on and on. And we're going to do online studies, by the way, in the book of Exodus soon. We'll be going into that. We'll talk about that more. Then you had the ancient Roman breastplate that I think Paul has in mind when he's talking. And that was so that a sword or a knife or an arrow wouldn't have easy penetration into your heart, your lungs, and organs that you need. Amen?
Amen.
This, a few of you weren't here, we talked to this earlier, but this Representative Scalise was shot during a baseball practice before the big game between the Democrats and Republicans. And the news media showed how untrustworthy they are because within the first 24 to 48 hours, they were telling everybody, oh, he's okay, and he's in stable condition, and they act like it was nothing to even talk about. Meanwhile, Scalise was fighting for his life. And he went into surgery, and they didn't even know if he was going to make it out of that. And when he did, he was still unconscious. And they said, now we got to see if he shows any signs of life before we go on. Otherwise, he's not going to make it. He did, so he went in for more surgeries. And now he's got to go through more surgeries even now. And he's still at risk of infection, blood poisoning, all those things we talked about earlier. If he had been able, now he's playing baseball, so I'm not criticizing him here. I'm just making a statement of fact. If he'd had a bulletproof vest and the gird about his loins with the Kevlar, he wouldn't be going through near what he's going through right now.
Yeah.
And so that's just a picture of you in your daily life, in your warfare. If you don't put on the armor of God, you're going to get shrapnel.
Yeah.
You're going to have blood poisoning. You're going to have organ failure. It's going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's why he's telling you to do this. But like I said, I heard sermons and Sunday school lessons and everything on this stuff. And I come away thinking, I know what they said, but what do they mean? What does that mean? Somebody help me, you know? Well, a lot of times you don't want to admit you don't know because then you think everybody else must be getting it. I'm just dumb. That's not the case. There's today, there's what a breastplate looks like. It's a bulletproof vest. And you stand in front of that and put the guy back here. I wouldn't suggest doing it, but you could shoot your 9mm or whatever and he wouldn't go through him. It wouldn't. Huh? Yeah, and that's the police. But isn't the stuff that they've developed for the military able to stop a lot better than that?
I can go up to, subsistence.
NSKS, if you have the Chinese model or the... Because that one's cheaper. That's why a lot of people have that one. It falls apart sometimes when you're shooting it too, but that's beside the point. And some of you don't know what I'm talking about. See him. He'll tell you later. So Paul elsewhere labels the breastplate as of faith and love, though. If you're reading through your Bible, you're going to see this is called the breastplate of righteousness. Then elsewhere, he calls it, in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, he says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation," which we'll come to in another study. Is he contradicting himself? Did he forget? Oh, wait a minute, I forgot I'd already called it. No, it goes hand in hand. Kind of like we were talking about, a gun without ammo is pretty useless. Amen? That's kind of how it works with righteousness, faith, and hope. Why breastplate of faith and righteousness? Because in Romans 3:22, the verse starts by saying, now listen to this, close. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith."
Amen.
Of who? You notice it doesn't in Jesus Christ either. This false notion of faith, your faith, if it's saving faith, it is the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You didn't just conjure it up. It came from the Word of God. Who is the Word of God?
Jesus
is the living Word, and He's given you the written Word. And those words, this Word of God, then is what then becomes your faith. But it's basically, we can kind of think of faith on loan from God. Amen?
Amen.
"And to all and upon all them that believe." So this isn't just a special something only a few of you have. If you are saved this morning, you are saved by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that faith came by the Word of God.
Amen.
That's why it says having on the breastplate of righteousness. And it's not self-righteousness. Too many people read this and they think that when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, that means, now I'm saved, I'm no longer a dirty, filthy sinner like you. I am special.
Chosen.
The chosen. The sanctified. You know what? The Bible says if you're saved, you're sanctified. The question is, how much today, and this is a daily thing, how much today have you surrendered to Him? That's the only question. When you woke up this morning and you say, well, it's Sunday. Well, okay, let's talk about Monday. How many of you hit today? Can't wait till Monday. Amen. Come on now. Some people have the wonderful day Sunday. They go to church and they just feel like, you know, oh, I just love church. I love the people. Monday comes around and they're like, I don't like life. That's how people are, right? And I can't say I'm not one of those, but I've had worse times where I didn't like. But they'll go and Sunday, they feel so righteous. And then Monday, when they go to work, and because they don't feel good, things happen. Usually it starts on the way to work, in traffic, amen? I mean, that's where it starts. That's only if your coffee machine worked. If the shower had hot water in it, you know, that sort of thing. But at some point before you got to work, is it that easy to lose that?
You just all of a sudden become nasty to people.
You know why that happened? It's not. I'm going to blow a myth here. It's not because it's Monday. It's because you woke up without Jesus on your heart and mind.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, because I'm one of you. I've been there. Those Mondays where I didn't get up thinking about the Lord, I didn't pray, I didn't spend a little time in the Word, I didn't turn on some good Christian music. Instead, I got up and I just started thinking about, oh, what I gotta do today, and I'm getting ready, and then head out the door. Oh, I forgot something. I gotta run. And then you get in the car and you're heading to work, and hey, cut me off. Do that. Oh, sorry, Lord. And that's what happens. But I've consciously got up on Monday morning and said, I'm going to make this day all about the Lord. The same stuff happened, and there were even times where I got a little frustrated with it, but it was nowhere near as bad because I made the choice that Monday to start my day thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm above the ground and not below the ground. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, I've got breakfast to eat. There's a lot of people who don't. Thank you, Lord, I've got a car that I can drive and it actually works. I had money for gas. I get in the car and my buddy Alexander Scorby talks to me all the way there, reading the King James Bible. And I go in there and yes, the first thing I look at are a bunch of people who didn't wake up with Jesus on their mind. And I'm thinking, this ain't going to be easy. But it's much easier than when I don't wake up with Jesus on my mind. And you'd better not then develop the, ooh, I've got this thing conquered. I have arrived. I am it. And then you start just looking down at everybody else and having... That's what some people think putting on the breastplate of righteousness means. It means now I am special. I am above you. I am more sanctified than you.
Jesus loves me more than you.
That's what some people, they may not even say that out loud, but that's what they think. And yes, just like Martha said, you slip, you'll hit, miss that one rung, and then you're like the cartoon. Down the ladder you come, busting your chin and all kinds of other things. It's not self-righteousness. Read this with me, Titus 3:5. Read it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can just always remember, it's not about what you have done, it's about what Jesus has done. And you can always remember, I didn't save myself, and since being saved, I'm not the one producing good in me. I was saved because of the work Jesus did, and all, any and all good you see of me, any spiritual growth you see of me, is because of His Spirit and His Word. And I'm not going to lay claim to any of it. Not if I'm honest. God says that none of us are righteous in and of ourselves. Did you know that?
Amen.
We had this discussion a couple weeks ago. The Bible teaches total depravity. What it doesn't teach is total inability. You are totally depraved. You were born with sin in you. You were born with Adam's sin in you. And left to yourself, you would be just like those reprobates who were marching in the Pride Parade this week. Left to yourself, you would be right there. Even if you weren't a sodomite, you'd been one of the liberals who were out there applauding the sodomites. That's where you'd be. The only reason you're not, and the only way you're not, is if you're saved and the Spirit of God is working in you to produce something you aren't naturally. That's a really exciting thing. Over in Romans 3, 10, 11, most of you heard this, but it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Say the word none. Spell it. It's not N-U-N. Spell it. N-O-N-E. There is none. Now, does anybody need me to define the word none? Are you all sure about what the word none means? None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. I was waiting for the original Greek from Sean back there. Nada. Nyet. As Putin would say. Nit. What does that mean? That means that includes you. You're not righteous. In and of yourself, you're hopeless. There's none righteous. None that understandeth. None that seeketh after God. I just so many times I see guys that otherwise are entertaining or intelligent. And I like Christopher Hutchins died a couple of years ago. He's an atheist. I like the guy. And when he wasn't saying the dumb things he said about God, he would talk about other things, and he was smart. But as soon as God came into the picture, it seemed like he lost all his sense. And I just loved to hear him talk. He would take sometimes these liberals. He used to be one. And he got a brain. He grew mentally and he intellectually, and he realized liberalism, socialism is a disaster. And then he would take these guys apart. And I'd just sit back there just laughing like I was watching a comedian because it was so entertaining to me. I just loved it. He still died and went to hell. Why? Because he didn't understand. One of the smartest men, I think, of the last 50 years. And he just didn't understand. Why? None of us would understand unless we would look to God and His Word and submit ourselves to it. And we have to admit by saying, I don't know it all. I need your help, God. I'm going to take your word over my word. Amen? That's where it starts.
Amen.
Our righteousness is of Jesus by faith. Philippians 3:9 is a great verse. It says, and be found in Him. And if you're saved, this is you. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, none of that has to do with you and how you perform and things you do, but all about you believing God.
Amen.
Simply believing God. Our righteousness is an imputed righteousness. It's not even something that, like there's a kernel of it in there and God waters it and sprinkles it and it grows. No, that's not how it works. It's imputed. Think of it kind of like a spiritual blood transfusion. How many of you know what that is? Blood transfusion? This is spiritually the same sort of thing. Or maybe you could even think of it as a heart transplant. It's like your old, crusty, dirty heart is taken out and God puts a new heart in there. But it's more than that because it is a standing. You are looked at by God now as a righteous person, not because you're righteous, but because He imputes the righteousness of His Son to you.
Amen.
So when you pray and you say, I don't feel worthy to even ask this, Lord. You know what God says? Amen. You're not worthy, but my Son is. Now go on. Amen. You and I aren't worthy. God ain't listening to us because He's listening to us in spite of us. Because of His Son. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 4. Some of you own a Bible. Have it with you. And know where the book of Romans is. Turn there. Romans chapter 4. Beginning verse 20. Romans chapter 4 verse 20. And this is all about Abraham. We're not going to take time to read the whole chapter. But the context is about Abraham. It says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to who?
God.
Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that...
The solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs... Tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.